You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for creatives and new bloggers hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, freelance journalist and blogger living in London. Who runs the website Bless the Weather. She is a photographer and a blogger and a writer, and she also teaches people to knit, amongst other things. We talk all about juggling parenting and work, how to create your own path instead of following someone else's, and why authenticity is so important, and how she became a freelance photographer. It's a really interesting episode if you're the sort of person that wants to see how you can transition from an inverted commas, normal day job into a completely different freelance career.
I started my blog probably 7.5 years ago, almost. So, you know, pretty old school. I started it because I was reading loads of blogs at the time. A lot of ones actually now that the people don't even update them anymore. But I just got really inspired by them, and they were sort of travel recipes, photography. And I remember thinking, after reading them for about 6 months, like, oh yeah, I could do that, and thinking that it seemed like so much fun to have it. I've always sort of been into like not scrapbooking in like the crafty sense, but just, you know, keeping records of all my holidays and my friends and just stuff like that, ever since I was a kid. So it sort of seemed like a natural fit for me to do something like that online. And at the time, I didn't have a digital camera. I'd sort of lost my way a bit with photography that I'd done when I was a bit younger and in for A-level, and then kind of on the side at university. But it was always film, and I got a little bit lost with digital. I just didn't get into it, you know. It didn't have the romance for me, and I just sort of lost my way with it. And I didn't have the money to upgrade my kit or anything like that anyway. So I sort of stopped doing that for a long time. And then I started my blog. It was in the Christmas, actually. I was having a really hard time with my family. There was lots going on, and it was a bit of a sanctuary for me. And my dad had just got me a digital SLR for my birthday a few months before that, just like an entry level one. It was like the Canon 450. And I was terrible, really terrible. I didn't have to use it. I had the kit lens. And honestly, if I showed you the first picture I put on there, it's horrible. I'm going to make sure it's deleted so no one can see it. It was terrible. And I remember thinking, you know, I want to hold myself accountable. Like, I want to get better. I'd always loved writing and photography, but I'd just lost my way, you know, because I was in my mid-20s, and that's sort of what you do, really.
Yeah.
Definitely what I did anyway. And I just wanted something to put it out there, because I thought that would make me keep it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, 7.5 years later, turns out it worked.
Yeah.
So it was just that, really. I started off terrible. And I got better because I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it. And, you know, 7.5 years is a long time.
Yeah.
And it's changed. I had a few different names back then. I can't even remember what they were. And if I could, I probably wouldn't tell you.
Yes.
I just, you know, it was just a different world back then, wasn't it? There was no Instagram. There was no any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was so naive and innocent and very different. And I used to shoot in like artificial light, and it gives me chills,
really cringe,
shudders thinking about it. Yeah. I just didn't know any better. And it's amazing now, like, how much people know, even with their iPhone, you know. Someone who wouldn't even call themselves a photographer just can take great pictures, because they just know more. It's more out there. So I just got better and better, and then Instagram, and I just kept doing it, basically. And I started trying to do a bit of photography more seriously. And I guess with that, just by writing more and honing my skills more, I guess you stop trying to find your voice. You sort of just realize that you have it already. And you find it easier to think about what you want to write about, and everything feels a bit more natural. But it takes a very long time to get to that place.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you say that 7 years ago, obviously, it was much more of an innocent time for blogging, and social media obviously was completely different. What do you find that kind of nowadays there's a lot more stumbling blocks for new bloggers? I mean, can you imagine if you started your journey out now?
I feel like it's easier in a way, because it's easier to get yourself out there. I feel like on Instagram, you know, it's fairly not easy. That I don't mean to say it's easy, but you can on Instagram with the right kind of strategies, get yourself noticed.
Yeah.
Whereas back then I felt like it was very difficult to get yourself noticed, and you could, you know, it was all about commenting on people's blogs, and yeah. it would take such a long time to start commenting, and then you'd go through the rabbit warren of finding these other blogs and connecting with them in the same way that people do with Instagram. But obviously it wasn't as instant.
Yeah.
It was leaving quite long comments, and it was just very, very different. But then also there wasn't the wealth of very professional looking bloggers and Instagrammers out there.
Yeah.
And you didn't know, like, you didn't start a blog with the intention to do anything with it other than just to do it.
Yeah.
And just to sort of have a record of your life, I suppose, or put your pictures up there and hope that it would connect with people. It was lots about Flickr and all of those kind of things. Whereas now it's almost like if you, there's so much out there, it's hard to not copy. It's hard to feel like you're good if you don't match up to everybody else, because lots of people, even, I guess, you know, in air quotes, an amateur, can appear quite professional now.
Yeah.
Whereas they weren't back then. So I think there's, you know, it is like a friend of mine said about parenting when I asked her, you know, certain things get easier when your kids get older, and she said, no, it's a different set of problems. I thought that was quite a good way of looking at it. It's a different set of positives and negatives now than it was then, I suppose. Like, I don't think that now is better or then was better. It was just different.
Yeah.
And I think that because I've done it for so long, I've definitely faltered along the way in feeling like I should be like other people to be successful, or to be not successful, but to be good, or to have a blog that people wanted to read. And I think now I've come full circle to just writing something that I want to write.
Yeah.
And if people want to read it, that's great. But that's the way that I feel comfortable doing it. And I think that I don't deviate from that because I feel so comfortable that I just like doing it.
Yeah.
And I don't feel the need to change it in any way, you know, or do things like back then everyone was doing like DIY posts and everything was very brightly coloured. And I sort of felt the need to go in that kind of direction. And now I think I'm much better at sort of, you know, blinkers on and doing what feels right for me.
I think that's a journey that quite a lot of bloggers go on, actually, that kind of journey of authenticity and finding, I hate the kind of finding your voice and finding your niche and all of that kind of crap, but like, it is a journey that we all go on to get
really to the is. Stage of. And I think that appreciating that it will change. There's so much, I think, that tells us we have to get to an end point in life, in our careers, in our relationships, in everything. And the truth is that doesn't exist. There is no end point. There is no work to this point and you will have achieved everything. It doesn't. I think the realizing that everything is ever changing is very a good thing to think about, because that's just the way it is. Just because my blog looks like this now, you know, it didn't look like that a year ago or 2 years ago, and it probably won't look like that in 2 years because your life changes, your passions often change, your everything changes, and hopefully I'll get better at what I'm doing and therefore it will look different. So I think it's fine for everything to keep changing, because I think that's healthy.
Everything's a bit of a risk and a gamble, and you kind of sometimes have to just try it out and hope for the best, not worry too much.
That's totally what I find about kind of parenting. I know, you know, my kid's only 13 months, so my experience is limited, but having the confidence to try things. There's so many things where people tell you what you should and shouldn't do, or you read books, or even your own parents will say, oh, you should do this, should do this. And you feel so scared at first that what you might do might damage your kid forever, that you are so scared to do anything almost. Yeah. But having the confidence just to change different things, you know, give them some food, they might not like it, oh, we'll do something different tomorrow, and that's okay.
That's really good advice. For me, as well as for other bloggers. So when you first started, just taking it back a little bit, when you first started out with your blog, what job were you doing?
Yes, I was working, I had a brilliant job actually. I was working for a charity called St Margaret's House, which is based in East London. And I was doing kind of a bit of everything for them, really. I was managing all their events in the, they had this vegetarian vegan cafe kind of downstairs. And I managed all the events in there, which was a brilliant job. And I dealt with like the volunteers and the internships, and kind of, it was the kind of job where there weren't very many people working for the charity and I could basically do whatever I wanted. So it was really great. I could just get a project in my mind and go for it. We started a little cinema in the chapel. We could just do anything we wanted, and it was an amazing job. But I didn't get paid very much, and I was very young and didn't have the confidence to go for what I wanted, and mm-hmm. I felt that leaving that was the only choice, really. But anyway, that was an amazing job, best job I ever had, I think. Yeah, I loved it.
When did you move to do what you're doing now? Because actually, people might not know, but you do a couple of different things, which I found really interesting when I was researching you, stalking you, because I actually found you through your knitting classes.
Okay.
Which is probably a different way to how most people find you. I imagine it might be through your blog or through Instagram and through your photography. Yeah,
I mean, I still don't know, to be honest. And I sort of feel a bit weird talking as if like I know things, because I don't really. I'm just sort of winging it in everything all of the time.
Yeah.
Whether it looks that way or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, I've always done lots of different things. I suppose I'm trying to dig down to the reason of why I do so many things. And I have always done it. Like, that job was a prime example of something that suited me, that I went in as one job and ended up doing 30 different things. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it. I really thrived on that. I left there, went to Southbank Centre, worked there for a couple of years. I've always worked in the arts, mm-hmm. Worked in the digital team, and I should have gone for a better job. And, you know, I got very bored and ended up leaving. It was a great place to work, but you do get stuck in your little box doing one thing, and that made me realise that doesn't suit me at all. I left there about 4 years ago, and I worked for a theatre company doing tour booking, tour management, again, lots of different things, digital marketing, managing the interns, kind of everything. Then as the company grew, I ended up as their salesperson, tour booker, so I would manage all their... Sorry, I talk very fast, don't I?
No, it's fine.
I worked as their tour booker across the UK and Europe. So I'd work from home... lots of great people, really good job. But when I went on maternity leave, well, before that, really, I sort of knew that I wanted to transition during my maternity leave to working for myself.
Yeah.
But I've been doing photography on the side and getting paid for it for about the last 4 years. Uh-huh. Just off and on, trying to find my feet, doing a bit of everything. Again, that's kind of my thing, really.
Yeah.
And so it hasn't been, you know, oh, I went on maternity leave and I quit my job. That's not really the tagline for me. Yeah. It's like, I worked very hard over a lot of years doing lots of different things, trying to figure it all out.
Yeah.
And I feel like every year I hone it down slightly, and maybe when I'm 60, I will have hit upon, you know, the one thing that's amazing. but this is the best I've got to, really. I've been teaching knitting for a couple of years as well. Just, I used to teach it for my house to make a bit of extra cash. Mm-hmm. And then while I was on maternity leave, I connected with a venue in North London. So I now teach all of their knitting classes. So sometimes I'm teaching 2-3 nights a week. And then I also work with a venue in South London as well that I teach a couple times a month for them. But I don't run any of my own at the moment because I just don't have the brain or life space to do it. But yeah, I do lots of different things, and I'm constantly questioning what I should be doing, what's the right thing to do. You know, it is a constant juggling act. I do lots of things, and I'm never really sure exactly how everyone finds me. I guess I just go with a bit of a Zen approach and think that the right people will find me at the right time.
I think that's a really good way of looking at it, actually. It's another thing that I think for new bloggers or Instagrammers or whatever, you see as being super successful, wanting to emulate that. I've been really interested in authenticity for a bit of a while now, because it's something that I question in myself and et cetera, et cetera. But that whole getting followers quick on your blog, on Instagram, on Twitter, whatever your kind of thing is, finding your people, it's finding your tribe, isn't it? I think that's the most important thing, and letting them find you. Because
it really is, and I think that not overthinking it, you know, like being in it for the right reasons. You know, number one, you've got to love what you do. You've got to love it, and you can't take the kind of pictures that you think are popular or talk to the kind of people you think you should if you don't love it, because it's not real. And not only will other people feel that, but you will burn out and you'll stop loving it and you'll question why you do it. And that's not to say that all of us don't go through those phases. I've been there for sure, and I'm sure I'll be there again, where you start doing something because you feel pressured to do it. And not even it's necessarily a conscious pressure, but you just slowly change a little bit of what you're doing and it feels there's a disconnect there. And I think, you know, I definitely don't consider myself super successful at all. I consider myself as someone that has just started something and just gone and gone and gone and not given up. And where I will be in 10 years, I have no idea. But I honestly think that that's part of the key, is just to keep going. But everyone's got their different journeys, I suppose. Some people do seem to get successful very quickly. But I would say that anybody that you look at, anyone looks at, people that I look at, that you think are successful and you admire what they do, I'm always shocked to find out the amount of work that goes on behind it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no magic. And
there's no shortcut.
There's no shortcut. There's no magic. And I catch myself saying it to people, you know, you're so talented. And when people say it to me, part of you is very flattered, but part of you also thinks that it hides all of the hard work that you actually put in. It's not really about talent. It's about constantly working, constantly honing what you're doing, trying to get better, challenging yourself, putting yourself out there, doing all of those things that scare you. And just slowly, day by day by day, even if it doesn't feel like it, you just get better.
Yeah. Do you listen to the Being Boss podcast?
Yeah, I love that. I love that podcast.
Because when you were saying that, I could just hear them saying, like, do the work.
Yeah. And it's hard, I put a post up on my Instagram a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was something to that effect, I suppose. Like, just keep going, going, going.
Mm-hmm.
And most people were commenting saying, oh, this is exactly what I need to hear. Thank you. And one girl actually commented, which gave me a lot of food for thought. She said that she actually wasn't trying to be negative, but she felt like that message was hard for her because she felt like you can feel like you're going and going and going and not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And that actually she feels like you need sort of to measure your progress and set goals and challenge yourself and do all of those things, which is true. It is true. And it is a complicated message to send to people, I suppose. But I guess it's meant as an encouragement. You have to just keep doing what you're doing and assess it along the way, but you can't give up.
Yeah.
Because I think there's this myth, I still think it of people that I really admire, there's this myth that people that you admire feel comfortable in what they're doing.
Yeah.
That, you know, every time they go out and take a photo, they think, oh, I've nailed it in one shot and I'm so good. But they don't think that. They still take bad pictures. They still do things that feel uncomfortable. In fact, they always do. And that's what makes them so good. And I always think, God, I feel so nervous about this, or I feel so uncomfortable about this, and constantly judge myself and think that that means I'm not good.
Yeah.
But it's actually turning that around and realizing that is the very thing that makes you good. Because the day you get up and think, I'm amazing, I've nailed it, that's the day that you stop doing anything of any note whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to come to the realization of, I suppose, because we all want to get to this magical land where we think we're wonderful and it doesn't exist.
No.
If you're lucky, it exists, you know, one day in every month you get that moment, and then you take yourself out for coffee and you celebrate the hell out of yourself, because the next day you're going to feel like you're terrible again, for sure.
Yes.
You know, it is true. A magical fairyland that doesn't exist. You do have to go, I'm afraid of that, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I do it now, you know, I'll email someone, even if it's someone that I just want to meet for coffee and have a chat with, or it's maybe a brand that I want to work with,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. And I email them, and, you know, I'll agonize over it for weeks, sometimes months. I'll send them an email, and then within half an hour, they'll reply and go, yeah, sure. And I'm like, I don't know why I told myself all of those things. I don't know what I expected. But it's those little inner voices, you know, we all have them.
Yeah.
We all have to figure out ways through them. We all struggle some days when we can't move through them. And I think it's just accepting that everybody, no matter who you are, goes through all of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
Just the more you move on, you know, now I can look back and say, well, I've kept doing this for such a long time. Or now I have pictures or clients or things that make me feel like, well, I was proud of that picture, or that person wanted to work with me, which means I must be doing something right. So I think you have to actually write down and tell yourselves the things that are true to balance the things you tell yourself that aren't true.
That's actually a really, really good practical bit of advice as well, to write down your achievements so that you can remind yourself of them when you're wanting to do something scary.
Definitely. Because we don't tell ourselves those things. We just forget, and we talk to us, you know, you wouldn't have a friend that talks to you the way you talk to yourself.
Yes, because
you'd
so
be like, you're a massive
downer. You're the worst.
stop calling me. Yeah, so I think you sometimes have to check yourself and stop telling yourself, and I am telling you this, but I'll continue to
yes.
say all of the things I'm saying that you shouldn't. But I guess it is about trying to have those strategies and Sarah from Me and Orla had a really good blog post the other day about things you should do when you just feel a bit negative, really feel a bit down. And I think that is good, is that those people have those coping mechanisms, you know, and I'm sure she has days where she can't move past it.
Yeah.
But the fact that she develops those things to say, right, I'm feeling really rubbish today, so let's do 10 things that are going to make me feel better, you know, little wins. And I think that when you start to turn a negative feeling into something more positive, that's what keeps you going, and that's what makes fear and all those negative things actually drive you rather than stop you.
She's a massive inspiration to me, and I presume you've mentioned her, so to you too. Who else on your blogging journey or in the kind of blogosphere? Or
oh god, I should have done some research for this.
I should have mentioned it to you beforehand. That probably would have been helpful.
Well, I don't know, because there's some people sort of in the beginning, I guess, that inspired me so much that now don't do so much anymore. So they inspired me to start. I think now that inspire me to continue, I mean, definitely Sarah is one of them because of her approach to, I think, creativity in general. And I guess the way she talks about something like Instagram as being a bit of a game that you have to play, because that's, again, a lot of people talk to themselves in thinking, well, I keep doing this thing and I can't be successful. And she is very good at saying, well, here are some things that you can do to give yourself the edge. So I think she's very inspirational in that way. I have a friend called Freya Dowson. You might know her on Instagram. I think she's just at Freya Dowson. She's a friend of mine I know through blogging. She's someone who definitely pushes herself through a lot of fear and puts in the hours and works hard. And I think that's very inspirational, because she isn't someone, I guess because I know her personally, you know, when you see people's Instagram and blog that you think are wonderful, but you know the stories behind it, you know how hard someone works to do that. You know how much they push them, and that's really inspiring to me. And someone I loved for a very long time on Instagram and blogging is a girl named Leni. She's just at a girl named Leni. She's a knitter and a photographer and just a very creative person. And she is just very honest with the way she talks about things, and she just inspires me a lot just with her creativity and the way she just talks about things. She's a very genuine person. So yeah, I guess rather than mentioning too many specific names, it's people who are just really genuine, make genuine connections, do beautiful work and put it out there despite any fears that they might have.
Have you made any kind of connections in real life from your Instagram friends? Because I think Instagram, more than any other social media for me, has been a bit of a game changer in terms of making proper community. Like, real, there are people that I chat to every day on Instagram that I feel like, oh yeah, they're my friend, but you know, I've never met
them.
It's weird isn't it
It's really weird, but kind of amazing as well. Yeah, loads of people. I mean, I think that's the benefit of living in London, is that so many people that I do connect with. Well, you're another, you live in like the other side of London to me, but not very far away. And so even from the days of blogging, I actually know quite a few people that I still meet up with now who, you know, I follow on Instagram, but we kind of met through blogging, and we meet regularly every month and hang out. And, you know, I forget that they're even my friends through blogging or Instagram, because they're such a big part of my life. And yeah, people I meet all of the time, actually, almost every month I'll maybe meet someone for coffee off Instagram. People that I connect with in different ways. Often embarrassingly, it's people approaching me because I'm too scared to approach other people, which is just stupid. So it's because they want to chat about, you know, motherhood or photography, or, you know, just we feel like we've got a connection through what we share.
Well, I've already penciled you in my diary for taking pictures when the baby comes.
Brilliant.
So that's also April.
That would be amazing. Well, it's just amazing that you can kind of meet people. You know, yeah, I want to kind of tout my wares, I suppose, like that I am a photographer. But I think the fact that I put so much else out there is an asset, because people feel a connection with you. And often I will photograph families or portraits of people I've met. Actually, I get most of my work through Instagram, because people, they feel an affinity with you as a creative person, because you have a baby. And that's really great to work with people like that. Sometimes I'll even photograph people for their business, and then I'll photograph them on the family side with their baby. And that's really cool too, that there's two sides of that, which is something I'm very passionate about, you know, women still being able to figure out how to do what they love whilst they have a baby.
Yeah, me too. How has that changed things for you, motherhood? Because Rory, but 13 months, did you say?
Yeah, 13 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's mega achievement. Cool.
Yeah. She's very, very cute.
She's nuts, but she's amazing. She makes me laugh a lot.
How has that shaped your creativity? And
oh, it's changed everything, absolutely everything. I was very naive in thinking it wouldn't change things and almost not wanting it to change things. Mm. But now I'm on the other side of it. I can't imagine not having her. I can't imagine where I would be without her, mm-hmm. you know, without her to drive that. I think, oh, there's so much that goes into it, really. There's the fact that I don't have a lot of time is that, you know, instead of getting 8 hours a day to work, I have chunks. Maybe I have 3 hours a day while yeah. she naps to work. I get more done in 3 to 4 hours than I used to in 8 hours because I have very small chunks and you have to get something done and you can't overthink it. You just have to go for it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely made me more efficient. I think it's made me braver too, because I want to be someone that she's proud of. And so I want to push myself because I want her to look back when she's older and think, yeah, like my mum did that when I was little. And, mm. you know, or maybe she comes on shoots with me or I don't know. I just want her to be proud of me. And that really drives me to work through my fear. Because I don't want her to think, oh, but mum, you tell me to live my dreams and you just sit at home all day and don't do that because you're too afraid. I think I want to say, look, I was afraid and I had you and it was hard, but I did it anyway.
Yeah.
So that really pushes me as well. And I think that it's just made me, it's given me focus on what I really want to do, because I don't have 8 hours a day to waste
yeah.
to do anything. I have very small amounts of time for her, for my partner and our family, for me, for work, for all of these things. So you have to cut out the things that just don't add value to any area of your life. So I think that's really made me, my life is so much fuller, but fuller of joy rather yeah. than full of just, you know, stuff, exactly. And that spreads to the stuff in my house, to the work mm. that I do, to the people that I hang out with.
Yeah.
It's everything. So it's like your life feels so much richer. It's probably all just massive cliches, but yeah, she's really changed everything. And I'm not going to pretend that it's easy mm. trying to fit that around a baby. Sometimes, you know, you have the best day and you get 3 or 4 hours worth of work and you cook and the house is clean and you think, oh, I'm so good at this.
I'm nailing it.
On the back how brilliant you are. And then the next day, you know, you can't even dress yourself until 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you don't know how you're going to function.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it goes. It is those ups and downs. And that's motherhood, that's working for yourself, that's life in general.
But yeah,
for me, it's a positive thing. And I know that a lot of people, before they have a baby, it is like almost like you're standing on the edge of this big chasm mm. and you don't know what's there. And it is weird being on the other side of that, remembering the way that I felt. But for me, it's been nothing but positive. You know, it has been hard and there have been lots of tough moments. But on the flip side of that, there's just been so much love, so much happiness, so much clarity, so much motivation to keep doing what I love despite all of the other fears. And that's been brilliant, I think.
What has been the most helpful lesson you've learned through blogging? It's quite a loaded question, isn't it? Sorry.
Yeah, I think because it's easy to say, you know, that the biggest lesson has been just to do what you love yeah. and be you, but that's what everybody says, and that's very hard to do. And I think looking back at when I started, you know, I'm 32 now, so it's too early for maths, but you know, I was pretty young when I started yeah. doing it all. And I think that goes hand in hand with your 20s. I mm. spent a lot of my 20s just quite insecure, as a lot of people do, not really sure of my style in anything. And I think that that aging is probably the thing that's benefited me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just aging makes you realise who you are a bit more.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're 23, 24, you don't really know. And I definitely didn't have a clue who I was. And so you're very easily led because you don't know.
Yeah.
Whereas now my life's much more sort of neatly packaged, I suppose. And it doesn't change as much from year to year, even though, you know, having a kid is a massive change. Sort of what I do every day, you know, I've been with my partner for 8 years. I've lived in the same house for 5 years.
Yeah.
Whereas back then I was moving house every year. You know, you change jobs a lot. Everything's very different. doing what you love, like really digging down to what is it that you love to do, writing that list. And, you know, is it that you love to travel, or do you love to read, or do you love to cook? And not feeling like just because everybody else is saying they love to travel, if that's not you and you just like staying at home, then that's what you should write about.
No, I think that's it's a really good answer, because I find that there's quite a lot of courses and, you know, e-courses, but also coaching courses and quite expensive ones that I know. I started out in travel blogging, and there's a lot of people out there who will tell you, follow this prescriptive kind of formula and you will end up like this, which took me a really, really long time at the beginning, because again, I was insecure and et cetera, et cetera. It took me a really long time to come to the realization that actually I didn't really care. Like, my idea of success doesn't look like the idea of success at the end of the neatly packaged course.
So that's the thing, is boiling down success. What does success mean? Like, for me, I want to do what I love and take great pictures and work as a photographer. And I keep reminding myself that as much as, you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't want 500,000 Instagram followers and, you know, doing all of that stuff. Well, actually, the main thing that I want is to connect with really great people, to make meaningful connections with people, to take really great pictures, to inspire myself, hopefully to inspire other people. And just mainly, number one, I do it because I enjoy it. And I have to keep remembering that. And that's kind of my guiding light. Whenever, you know, I get an email saying, do you want to do this with this brand or something? I say no to more things than I ever say yes to.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't feel right, and it doesn't align with any of those things, you know, I think, do I want that product? Would I enjoy doing that? No. Yeah. And then I say no. And I think, I mean, that probably better answer for your other question, actually, sorry, is that's a lesson that I've learned, is say no when it doesn't feel right. Just do what's right, because that's, depends what your success is. You know, my version of success is not being rich or famous or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
My version of success, I suppose, is just waking up every day and feeling happy and inspired. And that is my version of success, which means, well, I've done it.
Yeah.
And that's great, because then you just work on that. You're not constantly chasing this, oh, if I just had 10,000 more followers. Mm. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I don't check my follower count and love it when it goes up, because everybody does.
Of course,
but
yeah,
that's not the be all and end all of everything for me. It's about, you know, it's more about, can I check my feed and am I proud of the pictures? Am I proud of the people I connect with? That's the number one thing for me. Same with my blog.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's quite similar for me. And in terms of brand partnerships, I think when I mentor some kind of newbie bloggers, it's one of the things that I do. And almost universally, what people want to know is, how do you work with brands? How do you work with brands? And I totally get it. I completely get it. And I don't judge it at all. But one of the best lessons I've learned, similar to you, is saying no. Like, if it feels a bit icky, and you feel like you're going to really struggle to promote them, just say no. It's just not worth it.
It's not worth it. And sometimes they want to send you something that, you know, costs 50 quid or less, and the work you're going to put in for them is so much. And I think, I mean, again, being older and I suppose having a kid and less time, my criteria for everything is very narrow, is that the right way to say it?
Yeah.
You know, for me, it has to be the brands I work with, which I don't really work with hardly any, is, you know, they have to be ethical. I like things that are made in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
I like things that there is a purpose for, because I don't just like having stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't like promoting people who are just selling stuff. So I think for me, that's why I say no to so many things. And that's why I don't do a lot of things, because it has to be meaningful for me. It has to align with all of my values. It's not about the quick buck, you know, you've got to look forward into the future. And
I mean, to anybody who does want to work with brands, etc., obviously, it's totally all good. But it is about just knowing your own worth, I think, before you just say yes to everything.
And knowing, you know, that those brands don't care. I mean, I'm really shocked when I see Instagram accounts that have maybe 50,000 followers. They are bloggers full time and they work with all these brands. And you look at their likes and their comments, and I get more than them, and I've got about 4,000 and something followers.
Yeah.
But a brand would look at mine and be like, no, you're not big enough account for me.
But that's actually a really interesting thing that you touch on, because engagement really is the key to everything.
But the brands, most of them, the big brands anyway, they don't care. So I think it is, if that's your goal, that you want to be a blogger full time and you don't care about any of the other stuff, then that's what you go and do, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But there are so many people that are caught in the middle that they want that, but they want the stuff that's real as well. Yeah. And I think that it's very difficult to have both. It's really hard to have both, so you have to really decide what your core values are and stick with those above everything. Like, even when it feels like you're not getting anywhere, you just have to stick with those.
Because
those brands don't care. They don't pick people that they think have a great engagement or massive ethics. They just think, can I take a nice picture and will you share it out to your 50,000 Instagram followers who don't even see the picture?
And can I put it on my spreadsheet and say that I've ticked my task off for the month of reaching out to an influencer?
You know, are the bosses going to check? Are they going to come back and say, is that PR outreach, blogger outreach person? You know, are they getting a return on the investment? They're probably not going to check. But it is about that person showing up and working 8 hours and contacting all these bloggers and saying, these are all the features that I've got. And for me, it's all meaningless. It means nothing. I think it's about doing stuff, you know, do stuff, make mistakes. And I mean, one of my favorite quotes is a Woody Allen quote that says, if you're not making mistakes, then you're probably not doing anything very interesting. And that's so always stuck with me. And I think that, and that's how I teach when I teach knitting. Everyone is so afraid, even after 10 minutes of making a mistake. I'm always like, you've knitted for 10 minutes. Of course you're going to make mistakes. Like, get rid of that fear of making mistakes, because that is how you learn. It's fine to make a mistake and go, oh, I really screwed up then. Like, I totally sold out and I feel a bit dead inside because of that. I'm not going to do that again. I think, you know, God, I've made a million mistakes, and that's how I learn things, is because I mess everything up. And I'm okay with that, because, you know, I won't mess it up twice. I'll mess it up once, I'll move on, and I'll not do that again.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about photography and how do you find inspiration?
Oh, I could talk about this all day, I think.
Brilliant, do.
Well, I mean, there are some tricks, I would say. Like, I have learnt how, like, I'm still sharing pictures. I shared one this morning that I think I took a month and a half ago. When I was away the other week in Northumberland, I took lots of pictures. So I do things that work for me. So I don't really have time to take pictures every single day. I try to keep them as relevant as possible. And I generally don't really like posting things that I took a long time ago, unless there's a particular reason for it, because it feels a bit out of kilter for me. But I definitely will batch shoot things and save them all, and that makes life a lot easier for me. Sometimes I do things like, I will force myself to go out and take pictures sometimes, like, you know, in the winter when it was a really frosty morning, I didn't particularly want to go out and freeze my bits off in the park at, you know, 7:30 8 o'clock in the morning. But that's part of, I guess, because I come from being a photographer as well, I find that easier. And that brings up, I mean, a whole other discussion of, you know, are people that use iPhones photographers and all of that?
Well, yeah.
Which, short answer, I think yes. But there's a lot of snobbery about that. Anyway, there that's is, another story. Because I guess I've been a photographer for a very long time, ever since I was a kid. So for me, you know, I do understand that you have to get out and force yourself and get the light and take those pictures. And just naturally, I do that anyway. On holiday, I go out and I take pictures and I disappear from everybody for hours and take pictures. So I guess I find the inspiration to take pictures comes very easily to me because I love it. And I recently actually switched to using pretty much only DSLR shots from my Canon on my Instagram because I was struggling with inspiration to shoot with my iPhone.
Oh, really?
And I know some people love it and some people like that it's, you know, it's not very technical, and the iPhone 7 camera is amazing and can do a lot of things, but it just doesn't do it for me. And, you know, Instagram has changed and I do sort of feel a bit like I'm cheating, but I'm a photographer and I'm trying to get people to hire me, and they don't hire me for my iPhone shots. You know, but then you look at someone like, again, Sarah Mee and Orla, you know, her iPhone shots are amazing and so creative, but she gets inspired to be creative with her iPhone. And I don't feel that. Whereas with my SLR, that excites me because it's what I do for work as well. The more I practice with it, the more I love it. You know, sometimes I still do iPhone shots because I find that they do different things. And, you know, I'm sure I will sort of learn to love shooting iPhone again. But there are days when I don't feel inspired. There are days when I just don't have the time. And I guess I just try and get a little bit better. Like, I try and batch shoot. I definitely try to shoot some portrait things wherever I am. I mean, like, portrait orientation, because they look better on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I am conscious of some things that I try to shoot for Instagram, but I don't try and be perfect. I don't, I mean, this morning was an example of not really having anything perfect to share. It wasn't really the right picture for Instagram, but I really liked it, and I kind of put it up anyway, because it doesn't matter. Because again, I suppose the interaction with people and the consistency is more important.
Yeah.
To keep that going. So it's not a perfect system by any means, but I do try. And sometimes I do force myself. Sometimes, you know, my kid's napping and I just want to go for a sleep, and I force myself to spend, you know, an hour in the house trying to take pictures of my house or plants or, you know, self-portraits or something. So it doesn't always come easily. But then sometimes, like when I'm on holiday, that does come easily, because I can just disappear for a couple of hours and go and take a bunch of pictures.
Yeah.
And I will often get 30 out of those to use on Instagram. And that's brilliant. Sometimes I feel like, you know, the need for capturing things for Instagram or the want to do it actually inspires me to get out and use my camera. So, I don't know, that's again a really rambling answer. But no, it's a mixture of everything between inspiration coming naturally, me forcing myself out, and sometimes I don't have time or inspiration and I don't put a picture up and it's fine.
And I think that's really good to know as well, because sometimes you're not inspired and sometimes you just have to do the work.
Yeah, and again, that is easier with a baby. I mean, there's a lot of things that are harder with a baby, but just doing the work, I don't have a choice. Yeah. I don't have a choice. There's no other way. Like, I have an hour, I have an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I have to get it done. And that is something, honestly, I sort of wish I'd had that 10 years ago, because I would have been unstoppable. You know, I can't sit for 3 hours and go on Facebook and do all of those things, you know, because I don't have time. So I just have to get out and do it. Or I have an hour or two when my partner or somebody is around to watch Rory, my daughter. And then I have to go and take some pictures. Or sometimes she's with me and she's asleep or perfectly happy, and then she decides, no, your time is over, and I have to stop. So I'm sort of aware all of the time that she could wake up at any minute, and I've got to just get it done. And that is something that we could all do a little bit of, do with a little bit of, I think
having the constraints there can force you to prioritize. I definitely procrastinate way too much during, I could get a lot more done during the day, but because I don't need to, I don't, which is terrible. But,
Well, because you think, oh, I have tomorrow, I have this afternoon. Exactly, I don't have this afternoon, I don't have tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't have any time, I've got now, I've got the next hour. But sometimes, you know, I spend a couple of hours shooting and I get nothing that's good. And that doesn't mean that I'm a bad photographer. It means, you know, it wasn't my day, or it's not happening today. And again, I think it's experience. It's the more I do it, the more I learn. Well, I took great pictures yesterday, so just because I can't today is fine.
Yeah,
it doesn't make you crap. And sort of learn what works and what doesn't. Exactly, and you just have to keep going, really, and figure out what works for you, what times of day. And I mean, the rain, the grey, like, that's kind of my jam. I love that. I don't like really shooting in sunlight, and so the grey days are perfect for me.
Yeah. With your writing, do you write for other people as well as yourself?
I'd love to write a bit more for other people. I found it hard, though, actually. It was the first time I'd written for anybody else in a long time, and I was writing in a very sort of article-y format. It wasn't like an opinion piece, or it was just, you know, I did this and here's what I thought of it. I had to sort of not put in like the sarcasm or the things that I'm sort of very comfortable, made me realize how comfortable I am in writing like me.
Yeah,
I think I've learned to write how I speak.
Yeah,
and it's difficult when I feel like I have to write, have to take like copyright, essentially. I'm not really a copywriter.
Yeah,
would like to write more for other people, and I hope to do more of it, but at the moment mainly just for myself.
Yeah, really. And I suppose that, well, for me, writing for myself is where I get the most joy, which is kind of why I did at the beginning, and then realised quite quickly that I didn't want to be a full-time professional, in inverted commas, travel blogger or blogger, because as soon as you put those kind of constraints in and then start having to think, I have to write this for this reason, for this much traffic, work with this brand, XYZ, it kind of took the joy out of things for me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a perfect example of doing things and then realizing, well, I didn't feel great about that. And why didn't I? And then you can, but you know, also sometimes, like, I try and take on photography jobs that really inspire me, but the reality is that, you know, I'm quite new to this and they don't all come along all the time. So I have to sometimes, I either have to say, well, I need a bit of money, so I have to do something that I don't love.
Yeah.
And now I've learned that if I do a shoot that isn't exactly what I want, then I just don't share it. So no one will ever hear about it.
Yeah.
And guarantee that a lot of photographers and writers that everybody likes also do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm surprised when I talk to photographers that inspire me and they say that, because I assume that they don't do it, but that's not true.
So
there is a lot of that. Sometimes you have to do things that don't come easily to you and that aren't great because you need the exposure or you need the money or you need the contact or something.
It's not, you know,
even people that seem like they have it figured out, no one really has it figured out. It's just a case of trying stuff and seeing what works. And yeah, and then you get to the place where now, like, you can say, yeah, I love writing for myself. That's the primary thing that I like to do. And then you figure out how to do more of that and how to maybe get paid to do that. Whereas previously you were trying to get paid to write for other people.
Yeah.
So that's the flip side, is on that, you know. So it is all trial and error. And that's the excitement, because all of our businesses are different. All of our blogs are different. They all look different, because there is no one way to be a writer or to be a photographer or to be this, you know. You can do whatever you want, and you know, I can only, because I am a full-time mum, I can't shoot every day.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I can't be a full-time photographer, and actually I can be fairly selective about what I do, because I only try and shoot about one day a week. So that's how my business looks at the moment, but someone else's business doesn't look like that. So it is about trying to figure out what is right for you.
Yeah. Where can everybody find you? Obviously, I know where to find you, and I'll link to... Not if that sounded really threatening.
If they're not hugely put off by all of my long rambling answers to all of your questions.
Absolutely not. I can't imagine they will. And I'll put it all in the show notes as well. But where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Siobhan Watts, which is on Twitter at Siobhan Watts. And my blog is Bless the Weather, so blesstheweather.com.
Perfect. And what kind of things are you working on at the moment?
I think, honestly, I'm just trying to work on continuing to work.
Yeah.
That's mainly what I'm working on. And I honestly sit down every single day and go, right, what now? Most of the time. I'm just winging it.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. And if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please think about giving me a lovely rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, head over to my blog, wanderloose.com, or hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest, where I'm at wanderlooseblog.